Jan Bremen, a Dutch sociologist and emeritus professor at the University of Amsterdam and the Amsterdam Institute for Social Science Research. He has worked for over half a century studying the prevailing working conditions in Southeast Asia, India, Java, China, and their development in the recent decades of growing globalization. The current trends after the 2008 systematic crisis and the relationship to labor market models in developed countries.
The word precarity is more used in Europe and also in Latin America, while the word informality is more in use in the global south, in Asia and in Africa. What does it mean, informalization? It means deformalization, taking away formal arrangements in not only in employment but also in all walks of life, basically. And precarity, that is of course a very important word, because it brings out the misery of people who have lost their job or who have lost a major part of their income. And we are in a economy which is dictated more by the needs and the wants of capital than by those of labor and the working class people. So what we see around us is basically that the economic growth which takes place does not generate jobs. Not only it doesn't generate jobs, we see how capital replaces labor. So jobs are lost. When we look around us in our own circle of friends and colleagues, we know of many who have lost their jobs. And they have not only lost their jobs, when you lose your jobs, you also lose, what shall I say, the dignity of being employed. So the undignified is a very good expression which is used, and also the people who are upset about what has happened can't understand it. And what we see in this growing precarity is that the balance between labor and capital has become more tilted. And that is expressed in the concept of precarity or informality. Having said that, we have been going through a period of about half a century where life was increasingly getting better. And if we also compare our own lifestyle to that of 50 years ago, we know that we have advanced a lot. So when you are in the upswing, it is more difficult to face adversity than when you always have been in a situation of poverty. That is the condition for most of the people living in the global south. A large part of mankind have never enjoyed the benefits which we had with formality and the disappearance of precarity. And now being thrown back to that situation is very painful. And we see that around us in the people we know. Precarity and informality is a regime of employment and a regime of not only employment, it's also a regime of capital. Capital is also, and it's not precarious, but capital is being informalized. It is becoming intransparent. We know that there is an increased inequality. We see that around us, and that comes out very clearly. But how and why, we do not know. We do not know how these mechanisms are working. So I am not very enthusiastic about the idea that there is a class of precarious people. Of course there is a class of precarious people, but most of them are not living in our countries, in our societies, in our economies. Most of them have always been in a situation of precarity, but precariat as a class That is, as I said, a bogus concept. It's a regime. It's a regime of employment. It's a regime of capitalism, but it is not a class. Yeah, that is a very important one, because as I just said, we are living in a time that we are back to growing inequality, while for about 50 years, not much longer than that, but for about period of 50 years, the trend was towards more equality. You know, there have always been, and there have always remained, difference between the haves and the haves not, the poor and the non-poor. There have always been differences. But there was an upswing in society also, not only in economy. People got more dignity in their lifestyle, in their aspirations, and that comes out in the way they were bringing up their children. Higher education became important. What we see under the present, under the current regime of neoliberalism is growing inequality. And even that is hidden. Even that is difficult to capture, because those who accumulate more, their capital, it has become invisible, and they spread it around, and we know that it disappears from our own economy, from our own society. The Panama leaks are a good example of that, and of course the government knows it, and many within the government are part and parcel of that problem. So the current system of the current regime of neoliberalism is creating more inequality. And that is difficult to accept if you have lived in your life through growing equality. There was always upward mobility. Social mobility was upwards. When we now talk about social mobility, we mean it is downwards. And we see that around us, that parents know that their children won't have it so good as they have had it. That's very painful. That's very problematic, both for the children, but also for the parents. The strategy should be different from the one which has still the highest priority. And that is the expectation that the problem will be handled at the level of the nation state. That won't happen. That is not on. Because, as I said, in the regime of neoliberalism, capital has escaped from the nation state, has become globalized. It's spreading around, and there is absolutely, what has happened. Capital has been protected. Capital has been bailed out in what we call a crisis. But the crisis is not one of capital. The crisis is one of employment, of work, of labor. So the solution cannot be any longer at the level of the nation state. Capital has escaped to the global level, and labor, the working classes, should not only address the state. The state is in collusion at the moment with capital. That's very clear. They have pushed towards this model of neoliberalism, towards the market. And we see how the public economy has been dismantled. Public education, public health, public housing, public transport, public space has disappeared, basically. It has become privatized. So the state nowadays is in collusion, in most of the countries of Europe, is in collusion with capital. Capital has escaped to the global level, and labor will have to confront capital at the global level. That asks for solidarity between the working classes in the north and in the global south. That's very difficult, because their level of poverty, their level of misery is much higher than even in our countries. We think that we have been living through a period of crisis now. But if you look at wage levels, if you look at conditions of employment, we still, although there is a crisis, we don't see around us people who have lost their hope suddenly, but their children are not yet working. In the South, in the global South, many of the children are already from the age of 6 or 8 onwards have to contribute to the household income. So the levels of poverty are different. That is a major obstacle in creating solidarity, but that is the only solution. The European unification, the integration of the various societies in a regional frame, that has failed. And that is because in the policy so far, the only interest which has been catered to is the interest of capital. Mm-hmm. The European unification as it has been going on until now is in the interest of the banks, of the financial agencies, of capital and the owners of capital. It's not in the interest of the working people. What is lacking in the European policy so far is a social mandate, a social compact. If that is not added to, I'm all in favor of Europeanization. I'm all in favor of that, but only if social interests, the interest of the working classes, the interest of the people below the poverty line, below the European poverty line, are taken care of in the European unification. If not, then I'm not in favor of unification. There we have to take care of the diversity which exists, not only in Europe, but also in the global south. There is an enormous amount of diversity, of course. And I've been doing research in some of the major Asian countries, in India, in Indonesia, but also in China. I'm more impressed by China. There you see how the working classes who have come to the city out of their past in the village, in agriculture, how their income levels and also how their lifestyle has improved a lot. They are still poor, they are poor politically, because China is an authoritarian state and the working classes have no say in what is happening. And also in China you see a growing divide between the rich and the poor. It's enormous. But at least the poor have not become poorer in China. They have, to a certain extent, benefited from the policies carried out in the last 25, 30 years. That is, for instance, very much different in India, where I have located much of my research, and where I found that the poor are not becoming better off in this policy of globalization, but they are becoming poorer. What I describe in India and my latest book dwells on that theme is not poverty but pauperization. There we are back to the same situation which happened in Europe in the second half of the 19th century, when people who came out of the villages, out of agriculture to the cities, they became worse off, working in mills, working in factories, working in dockyards at very low wages. Super exploitation, basically. That was pauperism. We see the same in India at the moment. So the answer shows the differences between, for instance, China and India, or take for that matter also Indonesia. And Indonesia and India are much bigger together than the population of China is. So a large part of mankind has not benefited from this policy of globalization. And we know that. We see the inequality in the world at large. If 60 private persons, they have as much wealth as has to be shared among the half of mankind. That brings out 60 persons against half of mankind. That brings out the enormous gap that has arisen under the policy of neoliberalism.
RRS, Museo Reina Sofia Radio.